You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Michael. I was fortunate to catch up with my good friend, Will Darkey of CBB Uncharted on Instagram. Great page to follow with March Madness coming up just around the corner. It's a great way to keep up with all things national college basketball. Post a ton of unique content on there. Really, really highly recommend you give it a follow. I picked Will's brain on a variety of things today. I was able to catch up with him on just the national college basketball scene. We talked about who we think the best teams in the country are, the potential names to keep an eye on as far as the national player of the year goes. We talked about the state of the Pac-12, the Mountain West. I picked Will's brain as far as, you know, how panic should Ram fans be as far as CSU's NCAA tournament resume goes. It's a lot of good stuff, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it quite a bit. Obviously, a big game coming up for CSU on Saturday. It's senior day, Isaiah Stevens' final home game, which is crazy. I mean, I remember writing about him when he committed to the Rams all these years back to have, you know, now been able to watch him grow for a half decade. I feel pretty fortunate, especially in modern college basketball. There are just not a lot of guys like him out there, and to have had the opportunity to watch him grow and all these great moments, the clutch shots, the big passes, it really has been special. And I hope Ram fans are able to keep that perspective, even in spite of the frustration of this current three-game losing streak. It's definitely a game the Rams are going to have to step up and find a way to win. You know, you can't really afford any more losses here down the stretch. Maybe in the Mountain West tournament, but if you're playing day one, you're still probably going to have to pull out at least one win in Vegas. But beyond all that, I just feel like Isaiah Stevens' legacy, it should be, you know, going out with the NCAA tournament success, but certainly on senior day should be, you know, ending things in Fort Collins with a victory. I almost wonder if it's a similar situation to David Roddy a couple years ago. If you remember, CSU loses a heartbreaker up in Laramie where Roddy misses a couple of free throws late, then in the game in Fort Collins, you know, just has an awesome game against that Maldonado EK squad. The second half, I mean, they were just dominant. It really wouldn't shock me if we had a vintage Isaiah Stevens performance, you know, like a double-double, great scoring, dishing out a bunch of assists, the offense gets rolling again. It certainly feels like they should be due by now, but we'll see, I guess. I've kind of stopped trying to act like I know what's going to happen. It's just been chaos in the Mountain West all year long. It's been a lot of fun, but also been moments where you've wanted to rip your hair out. We'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. I'll be up there in person in Fort Collins. RG will be with me, so we'll have tons of content coming your way from senior day. Really looking forward to that. My Mountain West tournament credentials just got approved, so I'm excited for that too. Really hope we see the Rams establish some momentum here at the end of the regular season, carry that into the Mountain West tournament, and then knock on wood, hopefully beyond. Anyways, I'm going to get to that interview with Will Darkey of CBB Uncharted. Real quick, though, sometimes it feels like we have to be on all the time. It's important to hit the reset every now and then, whether that means just going out with friends, catching a game, maybe you're just hanging out at the fire pit. When you're doing so, though, grab an ice-cold Coors Light. It's a mountain-cold refreshment made to chill. When you're juggling work, family, just life in general, everything can feel chaotic. When you have an ice-cold Coors Light in your hand, you're allowed to refresh. You're allowed to just have that moment where you reset, you know, basically have a deep breath and boom, your problems go away. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. When you want to hit the reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. There are a lot of financial institutions out there, but here's the one I want you to remember. Premier Members Credit Union. They're not a bank, which means they do things differently, like putting their members first with higher savings interest and lower loan rates. This is an organization that serves the community, and the Colorado community in particular. With PMCU, you get local branches, friendly tellers, and the tools you need to save smarter. Check out their new high-yield savings account, or earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with the reverse-tier money market. Whatever your goals, they can help. PMCU is all about creating a better banking experience for their community. PMCU has the tools to help you save smarter. When you become a new member at PMCU, you'll get $200. You just have to open a checking account and sign up for e-statements. It's that easy. This will be your best money move yet. Head to becomepremier.com to find out more. All right, we've got Will Darkey back on the pod because this is March. It's officially the best time of year, March 1st. We had to wait a little bit longer than usual because it was a leap year, so a little bit of a tease on February 29th. We all had to really earn it, but I'm stoked, man. How's it going? How much college basketball are you consuming on average right now?
Words can't even describe how much my consumption has amplified in the past week. I'm trying to catch every mid-major. I'm tuning into every bubble opportunity that I possibly can, and oh man, this is my favorite time of the year, and I can't get enough of it right now. So I'm just so happy to be here and be chatting college hoops with you.
I'm definitely glad to have you on again. We've got a ton to dive into. This time of year always cracks me up because it's when the gamblers or the casuals are starting to get the information together for the tournament, and all of a sudden I start getting hit up by people with questions about certain mid-majors and matchups, and what do you know about Wake Forest? And I'm like, why do you want to know? And it just cracks me up.
100%. I feel like and this isn't to like slight the casuals, but I feel like there are some like blue bloods that everyone just assumes is going to be good too. And so if you're not like paying attention, you might be like, oh, like where's Louisville? Where's Michigan? They're usually up at the top, and it's like, yeah, not this year. This year we've got like, I guess I don't want to say Iowa State because they're also usually good, but I don't know. There's just teams that you wouldn't expect that have come out of the woodwork this year. And oh, that's what I love so much about college basketball is while there are the blue bloods and the teams at the top, my favorite part about the field of 68 is it truly does feel like it's anyone's opportunity to win. Like we saw last year with an FAU making it to the Final Four, a San Diego State making it all the way to the national championship. Like this is everyone's month, everyone's chance, everyone, you're not out until you lose. So I love it.
Yeah. It inspires more hope for so many more fan bases. It's a much more rewarding process, I think, in terms of just the postseason and having it be so exciting versus, unfortunately, and hopefully the expanded playoff fixes this, but college football feels like the postseason is largely irrelevant outside of a small, little section of games. I love this. I'm curious. There's been a lot of talk about the possibility of expanding the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts on that?
It scares me because it's the whole thing of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's so perfect right now. I really don't know if there is something as perfect as March Madness at this current moment. And so it scares me to change it. I think the one idea that I've like kind of come around to is if I think it's like a 90 team tournament that I've heard, or they're thinking upper 80s or like 90 or lower 90s. That one, while I don't prefer or wouldn't like enjoy it, I think I could come around to that one. I don't think you could get me to come around to like 136 or whatever that one huge number that they've been tossing around. That feels like too much. That's while I am a fan of like, it feels everyone feels like they've got a shot at winning. I do want there to be like some selection to it. You feel like you earned it a bit in the regular season. You did find your spot in the field and now you can make your run. If we're just handing out 130 something bids, then I don't know. Then that's where you start to see the Louisvilles and the Michigans of this year in the tournament. And
That's my biggest beef with it. Is I'd be more in favor if I actually thought it would lead to more Indiana States of the world getting into the tournament. And, you know, we could have a couple more of these small conferences represented with multiple teams. But what it means in actuality is it's a way to get every 500 ACC and Big Ten team into the tournament. And like you said, it should be selective. It should be an accomplishment to make the NCAA tournament. And if you just let 150 teams in, you really devalue the regular season and the whole point of why do we even have it? Well, we could just play a tournament and call it good.
Yeah. I really don't have anything else to say. Like you summed it up perfectly for me right there. So I
don't know. Maybe there's ways they can do it, but I hate that it's going to mean more mediocrity. And I like that this year there's a pretty good chance neither Michigan or Michigan State are going to be in the tournament just because it's a weird year like that. You shouldn't get in just based off your brand.
Totally. I think Michigan State still is on the right side of the bubble.
But yeah, they're close. They'll still probably get in when it's all said and done. But
that would be because I think their tournament streak with Izzo is somewhere, I think it's nearing three decades now. And so while like major props and I do love to see a streak like that stay alive, it's kind of fun to see like a little changing of the guard in the sport.
So let me ask you, as of March 1st, who do you think the best team in college basketball is right now?
And
you may feel differently on March 2nd, but you know,
true,
when we're recording this.
I think I brought them up last time I was on here with you, and I think I still lean UConn. They feel like the most well-rounded, complete team to me. I wasn't expecting Cam Spencer to step in and be like as impactful of a role player as he's been. Tristan Newton has like taken his game to a whole nother level that I wasn't expecting. They've got one of the best freshmen in the country in Stephon Castle. And then kind of what they had last year with Adama Sanogo as the one, Donovan Clingan as the two. They've now got Clingan as the one. And I'm totally spacing his name, Samson, as their backup two that comes off, or backup center that comes off the bench and like has been super impactful. It's kind of this like just electric, sort of Dennis Rodman-y. He gives me that kind of vibe, just like gets boards, is flying around everywhere. And I don't know, I love their depth all around. So I think I lean UConn.
I still think they have a gear that I haven't seen from anybody else yet, just in terms of when they're really rolling on both ends of the floor, it's electric. Houston would maybe be the one team that I would say is probably worth giving them a run for their money in that conversation. I just think their guard play, I mean, adding LJ Cryer to everything they already had, like that team is just, it's nasty. Who would be your national player of the year right now? Is it still Edie? Because I've come around to it. Maybe it should be Connect.
Yeah, I think it probably still is Edie. But I think the problem with it is everyone, and when I say everyone, just like the national narrative, I think kind of got too like set in stone probably back in January about like, all right, yeah, this is probably going to be Edie's award again. And I think sort of like the attention got put off like anybody else. And I truly, in this past week, I've seen some more like whispers start to come around about like, wait, is Dalton Connect like maybe National Player of the Year? Or RJ Davis at UNC also is like playing out of this world. So I don't know. I think it is. it still feels like it's Edie's award and he probably has it locked down, but I don't want to say that it was a complete runaway because yeah, Dalton Knecht and RJ Davis are the two names I want to toss out that have definitely like given him a run for his money. They're playing incredible ball.
Given that I got to watch Dalton at Northern Colorado, like in person and seeing him go on and make this leap, which is, I knew he was going to be really good. And I knew that he was going to surprise people, like be an all SEC type player. I didn't think it was going to be this, man. He's potentially played his way into a lottery pick situation.
Yeah, this was, I remember watching him when CU scheduled UNC last year in the non-conference and they came down to Boulder. And I remember it was a pretty like easy game for the Buffs. They kind of cruised to a win, but the only thing that kept UNC like within striking distance was this one white guy on the team. And I'm like, I checked the score sheet and I'm like, Dalton Knecht, geez, this guy is a flamethrower. And so then like from that game on, I just like kind of kept an eye on him last year. And then
they always have one dude. Like they've done a good job of adding some transfer players, but like they always have one dude that's capable of giving you 30. And that's why sometimes the CSU UNC games end up being a little bit closer than you hope.
Totally. And yeah, so when he entered the portal, I was like, oh, this would be awesome. Like he's totally a high major player. He's a Colorado kid. So like
I know CSU and CU both made runs at him. That's yeah, for sure.
I was thinking like, oh, I bet he'd love to stay in state. And then probably got some NIL money tossed at him from Tennessee, which you got to respect to take. So I was happy for him, but I'm like, I think, yeah, I even in my mind capped a certain ceiling that was way too low on what I thought he could be. I thought he would succeed at the next level, but oh my God, he has been just transcendent.
I think he's the best scorer in college basketball this year.
Yeah, and to see him, I think what does it for me too is him on Tennessee. Like Rick Barnes' teams are always incredible defensively, but they've always sort of lacked like an offensive spark, at least within the past couple of years. That's where it's tough to like fully bet on Tennessee in the tournament and like expect them to go and win six games straight because they'll give you solid defensive outings every single time. But they have a tendency of one game here or there, they're just all ice cold and there's no offense. And it's been like just such a different look with Dalton Knecht at Tennessee this year. He's been like that life and that resurgence of offense that I haven't seen on Tennessee in quite some time. So I don't know. I'm so happy for him. It's so cool. And like you said, to have played his way into a lottery pick potentially, like I love it. Love it so much.
I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the Pac-12 right now? Are they going to get three teams in?
I think, yeah.
Arizona's a lock. Washington State's in a really good spot right now. CU's knocking on the door.
I think there probably is bias with it, but I think right now I do lean three with Arizona, Washington State, and I think CU probably gets a trip to Dayton in the first four. And while like the bubble isn't this like unanimous, this is what the bubble looks like right now. Like everyone's got their own bubble, but you kind of know where certain teams fall here and there. And when you look at the other teams around CU on the bubble, I like CU's schedule a lot more than I like a Providence or a Villanova where they've got, while they've got more Q1 opportunities that they can like take advantage of, there's like some tough road contests against ranked opponents for them. And I think there's also some like cannibalism opportunities with some teams that have to play each other around the bubble. So I think CU has a favorable schedule. It's just, it's kind of all in their hands if they can make it through the regular season, then maybe pick off two games in the Pac-12 tourney. I think that's good enough, and that probably gets them in the tournament. So, and I think
you got to go at least 2-1, I think, over these final three.
Yeah.
And you got a chance to take some road wins, which always helps.
Definitely. So I think I lean three. And I, right now, March 1st at 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time, I think the Buffs find the right side of the bubble. But that can change in probably half an hour if something happens. So who knows?
I think they're figuring it out. I know a lot of it's going to be dependent on Cody Williams' health. If you can get the type of performance he got from Da Silva the other night, that's going to be huge. KJ Simpson is obviously electric. Going to the other team in the state, which had a ton of positive momentum, felt like, you know, they were potentially in the mix to be like a 5 seed or even higher for a really like weeks on end. And now all of a sudden, man, the Rams, they're struggling. They've lost 3 straight. I don't think they're playing poorly per se, in a sense of like, I don't think you throw everything out. I don't think it looks like way different than what we've seen, other than the shot making has just fallen off of a cliff, which is super frustrating because the defense has been actually pretty good. But I guess just as somebody that's an outsider, technically, you know, has CU allegiances, but I think we've established pretty well at this point, you're a college basketball fan, you're super into the Mountain West. What is your perspective on CSU and specifically their NCAA tournament resume? Because I keep telling people, like, yes, if it was Selection Sunday was today, the Rams, I think, would be pretty comfortably in, probably as like an 8 seed, maybe a 9 or a 7, you know, give or take, depending on, you know, how it all plays out. They are in a tough spot, though, where you now have a couple of frisky games here at the end, a Q3, Q4 type competition. And it does feel like CSU doesn't have much slack. But I just answered all the questions for you. But what's your perspective on this?
Yeah, I want to give I've brought this up every time I've come on here with you, but I want to give the Mountain West like credit. While CSU definitely has they might not have like the most ideal, optimal record in conference play right now in the Mountain West. The Mountain West is like a different beast this year. And while it's so much easier to remember the games that just happened like the last week, and I just personally want to send my condolences to, what is it, Ram Nation? Ram Nation. That Jared Lucas shot was insanity.
He loves playing CSU, man. His two highest scoring games in conference play have both been against CSU.
Yeah, so while it's super easy to like that wound is still very open and very like raw, I think you gotta be able to like look back at the non-conference too. Yes, that is like a long time away where it's like, well, that we're not playing like that anymore. But like, I still think back to that Creighton game, and having that type of win, and now seeing like where Creighton has solidified themselves within the country, it's a really good win. And it is one of the main reasons like that is boosting CSU's resume. And I think I think no matter what, CSU is safely in. That's my personal opinion. But I think I still look at the non-conference slate and how CSU played in it as like, that's like, they have that potential to reach that level. And it's like I was saying, it's a mixture of that where I've seen them play against non-conference opponents where that's kind of what the tournament is, where you're not playing these opponents that you see twice and you got to go to their place and they come to your place. It's like, you got your matchup 4 or 5 days ago and like, all right, let's do a little scouting and let's go out there and let's play 40 minutes of hoops and maybe we need an extra 5. So,
I mean, I think that's a bigger factor than people recognize, just the familiarity, especially given that a lot of these coaches are well established. You know, we didn't have a lot of movement in the offseason. They all know each other. These players, for the most part, even have been here a while. You know, the Lamont Butlers, the Jaden Ladies, Dagenhart, Stevens, like all these guys, they played a lot of games against each other. There's no secrets. Everybody knows what everybody's trying to accomplish. It's just been disheartening for CSU fans because you saw the potential with the win like Creighton. You see what they could do. And even some of the wins in Mountain West play, like, you know, beating San Diego State decisively, Boise State decisively at home. I think that's a big factor too. Yes, they've had some struggles, but they don't outside of losing in Laramie, they don't have any like catastrophic losses that kill the resume. Things could get kind of tricky bubble wise if you lose, you know, here at the end to just not good teams. But I don't know. I was just kind of going through net and stuff, and it's interesting to see CSU has 5 Q1 wins. Like, there are very few teams in the country that have more than 6.
Yeah. And I think that that just goes back to what I was saying about the Mountain West is it's no pushover league this year. I would put it, I might be a top 3 league this year. Like, it is.
I think it's at least fair to say it's in the conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's very clearly a top 5 league.
100%. And so that's where I just, I totally understand how Ram fans are, they feel disheartened by shots like the Jared Lucas shot that are
just and when
brutal.
It's a week after the Donovan Dent game winner, it's a tough week.
Yeah, it has been a really tough week. But I think if you can like take some solace from Nevada being a really good team and Jared Lucas being a really good player, who he's a really good player that is going to lead a tournament team, him and Keenan Blackshear. Donovan Dent, really good player on a tournament team. Matt, New Mexico's a little more on the bubble. They might not be, but I also think they'll make it. So I just, while it can feel disheartening, I think you also have to look at it as like, these are tournament teams and we're staying close and staying competitive. And in March, you just need the shot to not fall, or you need it to not bank and rattle in. And I don't know. I think
I haven't lost them. I think where it's like you kind of, you know, when you're winning, when things are going great, you're gonna have a few balls bounce your way. And when you're in a 3-game losing streak like this, where you're in it, they're all tight, they all come down to the wire. It feels like everything's going against you, when in reality it's like, well, it was like 3 key plays are what really dictated the difference in this game. And yes, you want to see guys like Neat Clifford and Cartier step up. Like, I think somebody outside of Isaiah Stevens needs to be more consistent from a shot-making perspective. Joel Scott's doing his thing in the post. Like, he's killing it, but he's not a guy that's going to stretch the floor or anything like that. And what we're seeing with this Rams team is they're work in the paint, because I think they know, you know, the 3-point shooting, it's been up and down. They're not trying to live and die by that. But then, you know, teams kind of, they start camping on them because they're trying to take away those driving lanes. They're daring CSU to shoot. And it's these instances where Zay, you know, he puts the ball on the floor, he drives in, he kicks it out. You've got Cartier at the top of the key. Like, if he could just make 1 to 2 of those a game, if Neat can just make 1 to 2 of the shots that we saw him make consistently, that's a 12-point swing per game, and you probably win 2 out of these last 3 at least.
Totally. And I don't want to like criticize Neek, because he has been so good this year. And
when he's doing everything else, but he's just struggling offensively.
Yeah, it's frustrating to see this slump that he kind of fell into in the month of February, because we all saw it. He was, you brought it up the last time I was on here with you, that he was
at one point, he was like top 10 in effective field goal percentage and true shooting percentage.
Yeah. And so like we all saw it and he was producing. So it's not that he can't do it. It's more just frustrating that like you did see him do it for a couple months and then he lost it within the past couple weeks. And like you're saying, then when you're losing games by one possession, literally at the buzzer, it's like, ah, man, if only like one or two of those Neek shots would have fallen that we were getting a couple months ago, that's a different outcome. So,
and being fair to
him,
like we could say that about just about all these guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The Cartier totally missing the shots that he was making earlier in the season. You know, Jalen Lake has moments, but then he has these cold stretches where he'll miss 6-7 shots in a row. They got to find some consistency, because it's not like, I guess the point I'm trying to make is I don't think the offense is poor. I think they're getting the same good looks that they were getting earlier in the year. They just really aren't falling with the same consistency.
Totally. And yeah, I don't want to like make it sound like I was attacking Neek. Like, it's
no, you're not at all. I think you're, yeah, we're good.
Yeah. it's a. I think what I was trying to say is like, we saw Neek do it, and while it's frustrating that he like might be in this cold streak, there is a good chance that he catches a hot streak because we all see what he's been capable of. And like you were saying too,
that's variance, right? Like you could really say the same thing just about CSU as a team. Like
totally,
you know, they could just get the offense rolling and now they're defending at a higher level. And all of a sudden, like it wouldn't be shocking to see a team with this many veterans get hot and rattle off, you know, the 5-6 wins in a row. I don't know. I'm like kind of using this as a therapy session with you just because I need Ram fans to understand, like, it's not just me as a homer that's telling you, like, it's probably going to be okay. Now, if, you know, something chaotic happens here at the end, we'll have to see. I don't even want to, like, think about that possibility. But the nice thing is these losses, they don't kill you. And you see that from, you know, the metric standpoint. You see it from the fact that the Rams are in seventh place in the Mountain West, but they're a 7 seed on bracket matrix.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. What was I just gonna bring up? I'm totally spacing out. I was about to bring up, but yeah, I guess just to like go off you, I really don't think. Oh, that's what I was gonna bring up. Is I'm a little superstitious when it comes to March, but I feel like something's in the water when like you turn the page and you hit March on the calendar and like. Weird shots fall, weird things happen. And like, yeah, that can totally go the wrong way for CSU. But for a Rams team that has probably felt pretty unlucky the past couple weeks, yeah, like I was saying, I'm superstitious. And I don't know, I think if there's any month that like some weird shots can fall and some hot streaks can start and you can see a little like a hot streak happen in the Mountain West tournament and in the Big Dance, then I think it's this month. So,
all right, we'll get right back to that conversation with Will Darkey, but I do want to talk to you guys about the Circa Resort and Casino, Vegas's first ever adult-only casino resort. They have the world's largest sports book. It's a 3-story stadium-style operation. They have a 7,000 square foot casino. It's 2 levels with over 1,300 slots, 48 table games with dancing dealers. They have Stadium Swim, which is a 15,000 square foot area of wet space. It's open 365 days a year, 6 pools, 2 spas. You can watch sports on a 143-by-40-foot LED screen. It's insane. If you're heading out to Vegas anytime soon, book your stay at Circa with our code DNVR20 for 20% off. The Circa Sportsbook app is also available in Colorado. Circa sports bets can be made while only physically located in the state of Colorado. It must be 21 or older, all rights reserved. Circa Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. Finally, make sure you check out all of the awesome DNVR events we have going on. You can follow us on social media at DNVR_sports or go to thednvr.com/events to check out our calendar. On March 25th, we are going to be doing a CSU Rams takeover. It's CSU night at the Nuggets game at Ball Arena. You can actually purchase a ticket on our party bus, which will take you to and from the arena. It's going to be a blast. Go check all that out. Again, thednvr.com/events. Who would be your Mountain West Player of the Year?
Ooh, I think...
if Utah State wins the league, I think it's probably going to be Osabor, but... man, like Ladie and Stevens are all American candidates.
Yeah, those are my first two thoughts. I think I lean Ladie with Stevens as a close second, but you do make a great point about Osabor if the Aggies are able to win the Mountain West. I don't know. It's a three-headed monster. Like all three are very deserving in my opinion, but I think right now I lean Ladie.
Should we ban court storms and arrest the students and, you know, whatever else Jay Bill has said?
I have a much, like, smaller platform and much more informal opinion on it, but you cannot take away the court storm. It's just, the argument that I hate the most is how it's like, oh, well, we don't court star in NBA games or at NFL games, but that's just not the culture.
Context.
Yeah, it's not the culture. Arenas,
the crowds are five times as large. In Moby, it's like 6,000 people. Like a fifth of them are actually going to storm the floor. I've interrupted you a few times here, so I'm sorry. But
no, you're all good.
The just disingenuous arguments from so many of these people who are basically trying to like virtue signal and be like, look how wise I am. Like the basketball fans, they're lowly, but like we need to, it's just like, dude, this happens thousands of times a year without incident. I know the Filipowski banged his knees, but to me, it looked like he kind of stuck his leg out. I thought the whole situation has been so corny and predictable, the like faux outrage over it all.
Totally. And like, I'm all for player safety. Like if there is a way that you can maybe implement some safety protocols to like get the opposing team off the court, like, or I don't know, like amplify security around the bench that so they're able to like corral the opposing team at the very end.
Yeah, you've seen arenas do it successfully where they kind make a line there and allow them to get off the
totally
court. Yeah,
I think the problem with the Wake Forest one is, no offense to the security staff there, but that was one of the worst. It was just rough. A no-show. Yeah. Like it was tough because the students, I think, ran onto the court before the final buzzer even sounded, but it was a rough show and all around. And I think that was like a low light for court storming, but you can't take that as like, that's not what it is.
It's not, you know.
Yeah, that isn't court storming. And it's just part of the culture and you can't take it away. And if they try to take it away, you're not going to be able to take it away, because try stopping thousands of drunk 21-year-olds. Like they're just good. Yeah. Good luck. That's all I'm going to say, but I don't know. Me personally, you can't take it away. It's part of the culture. I love it.
Did you ever get to storm a court or field as a student at CU?
I did. I mean, as sad as it is, basically anytime the Buffs win a football game now, it feels like it's a field storm. So I have been on the field a couple times for that. But for basketball, what was it, 2022? They beat number two Arizona. They kind of just dog walked them. And so that's when those court storms are a little weirder, when the game like had
dominated
been,
them.
Yeah, the game had been out of reach. And like for the final 6 minutes, it was just kind of waiting, like, all right, we get to storm the court at the end. And so it was fun. But like my favorite kind of court storm is like you hit a buzzer beater or you win it at the last second. And then it's just like madness to get onto the court. But yeah, that was my one time that I got to storm the court. And it was super fun because it was Evan Batty's senior night, took down number two Arizona. And it was a great time. So as a firsthand observer and enjoyer of court storms, we just can't get rid of them. They're too embedded in the sport.
I will maybe concede that they happen a little more regularly than they probably should for football and 100%. Basketball. Like it should really mean something, I think. But also at the same time, I'm not going to be the old guy that's just, you know, yelling at the, how dare these students, like the sanctity of it's, they're having fun. And all the time we hear about the lack of support and lack of interest with young people in college sports. And then they go and they have fun and they're into it. And the same people that complain about the lack of interest are now complaining that they're too interested, they're too into it, you know, onto the floor. And I don't know, can't have it both ways. I'm not surprised that you're pro court storm, one, because you're a cool dude, but two, because that's just the rational take to have. Like everyone acted on TV like we witnessed some type of tragedy. And obviously, like if Filipowski would have got significantly injured or something like that, that would be scary. But he's taken a lot worse contact than that all game. Like, come on, be an athlete, man. Like, I don't know. I it's a fine line. And I even the other day, I was like, I'm not trying to be like the East Coast, like radio jerk hot take, you know, it's just like, you know, the players, they're soft now. But a little bit like between that and like Caitlin Clark kind of flopping on her incident, like, there's a part of me that was like, there was some sour grapes here. Like, those teams lost games, and I know that it's annoying to have the fans storming on you a little bit, but, you know, come on. This is a part of sports. Like, win or lose, take it with pride.
No, yeah. I mean, like, I've been there. I remember, like, in middle school, probably losing a basketball game and, like, faking being hurt at the end to be like, oh, my, like, kind of, I think immature young me was like, I'm going to take the attention away from their win and pretend I'm hurt to, like, I don't know. But to see, like, college athletes doing it, I tried to give Filipowski the benefit of the doubt and was like, no, he is hurt.
Everybody, like, else got off the floor. That's all I'm, like, again, like, I'm not trying to, like, victim blame or anything like that, but, like, you should know if you're Duke and you lose that game,
100%.
They're coming.
Yeah.
And you look at the rest of his teammates, they all get off the floor. They run off the floor. And he's just kind of, like, being, you know, he knows they're coming. He's not making any effort. And I know that eventually it's, like, chaotic and there's not really anywhere to go, but, like, we can only do so much to protect the athletes, but the athletes all also got to protect themselves. And, you know, again, don't be immature in that moment. Like, I know it sucks you lost. I'm sure you're super annoyed that all these students are running on the floor and they're yelling at you and all that, but, like, this is what it is.
Yeah, and this isn't just Duke, but with this example being Filipowski and Duke, you have to know what you're signing up for if you want to wear Duke across the front of your jersey. And it's going to be, if we go on the road and we lose, we're probably going to get court stormed unless it's UNC, because, like, UNC has too much pride to do it. But kind of probably any other ACC team is going to court storm you if you're Duke and you lose at their place. So, yeah, it's kind of like, it comes with the territory of, like, if you want to play at one of the coolest, best brands in all of college basketball, you're going to have to then reap the consequences.
To me, it's also a sign of respect. Like, when CSU was rolling, they got the court stormed on them by Utah State and Boise State in back-to-back games. And yes, that's annoying. And yes, it stings that you lose those games. That's also a testament to what you are and the fact that beating you means this much.
Totally. That's a great point. Like, if you're able to spin it and just, I can understand how, like, after time and time again, it can get frustrating. Easy thing to say is like, oh, well, just don't lose. But I mean, good. It's a lot easier to say that than it is to go and win on the road in college basketball. But I don't know. It is inevitable losing on the road. And so, yeah, then if you can spin it and be like, if we're getting court stormed, it means we're doing something right. So, yeah, I don't know. But to just put a bow on it on my side, can't take away the court storms. They're too good. They're too much a part of the game. And I would be sad if they tried to do anything about it.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days, they put a smile.